You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Maureen McQuillan. Maureen, thanks so much for being with me today.
Thanks for asking me. I'm looking forward to the conversation.
Me too. I really loved your show, which closed recently, of course, Coloratura at McKenzie Fine Art. And I want to jump into talking about these works, which are really mesmerizing on a number of levels. But I'd love to ask about that title, Coloratura. I imagine that speaks specifically to the way you're working, right? Because it's an Italian term, an 18th century term.
Yes, that's right. You know, I guess, you know, I was going through different titles and kind of thinking about what was the most important thing about the show. And, you know, it's pretty obvious that, you know, I just felt like having color in the title would be good. And so I was thinking about, or chroma or whatever, trying to think about words having to do with color. And I thought of coloratura, and, you know, it's a word literally meaning coloring in Italian. And it's also a style of singing, of operatic singing, that's highly embellished. And I thought, well, that seems sort of an obvious title for a show, so I better check and see if anybody's done it. And I didn't find anything, but I did see that it was the title of a song by Coldplay. And I read the lyrics to the song, and they were, you know, it was very hopeful message. It's coloratura is a nebula in a galaxy, you know, far away, and it's this utopian place where everyone is accepted, and it's the end of death and doubt. And I thought, well, you know, and also that, you know, what really matters in life is the love that you send out. And I thought, well, that's kind of like painting. So that's how I got the title. It was a really long answer, but anyway.
No, that's good. Yeah, that's really interesting. Actually, a nice term. And, you know, referencing the pandemic era with Coldplay is interesting too, because, you know, the pandemic wasn't so long ago, and I was interviewing artists through the pandemic, and it seemed to have such a different effect on everybody. Did your work shift or change during the pandemic?
Actually, it did. Yeah, I was, you know, it was, I think, for a lot of artists, a period where everything was so shut down that you could really focus in on your work and take risks, because you didn't even know if there was going to be an art world, you know, anymore. And, you know, everything was so dire. But at the same time, it was just a really great opportunity to experiment. And I started adding geometric elements to the work during the pandemic, and to sort of break up the very gestural and lyrical, you know, sort of flow in the work. I wanted to introduce a new element that was going to disrupt what I had going, and I really didn't know what was going to happen. And, you know, it was also creating another, you know, sort of a structure to work against, and the black elements, you know, create a sort of rhythm that is in opposition to the gestural part of the work. And, you know, they sort of combine, you know, they're in opposition, but they kind of combine and create new language.
Yeah, that's so interesting, right? The effect of the pandemic that way, visually, really. I want to talk about the content and the process here. You know, these works have a kind of, to me, a sense of the infinite in them. They feel like gazing pieces. You can look at them so long, and so many things are happening optically. To begin talking about them, can you tell me a little bit about the process here? You're using acrylic polymer ink and acrylic on wood panel, I know, but how are these really built up? Are they drawn first? Do they begin with ideas or sketches? How is a painting like this made?
I don't really start with a sketch. It's more of sort of an idea of a systematic process. I sort of change things around from painting to painting, but I'm approaching color in a systematic way. I try to take myself out of the equation as much as I can, but I knowing that that's impossible, but I'm just trying to take some of the subjectivity out of working with color. So I create a really simple system, and I use color, very few colors, maybe four, maybe two, maybe, well, at least two, but usually no more than four. And they're transparent inks that are pure color. I don't mix color myself. It mixes optically through the layers, if that makes sense. And I order, I have a specific order that I'm going to use the colors, and I stick to that. But I change the rotation by one place each time, so that there's a structure to the way the colors being laid down in each layer. And I'm drawing. I'm dr starting with white lines parallel, and then the color. I pour the color, and it disrupts the lines in a certain way. I have a certain pattern that I follow, and then between the layers, I'm interweaving the geometric lines or shapes, but one layer at a time. I don't. I hope you can get a sense
Yeah,
of
no, I do get a sense. Yeah, without mixing colors, you're layering and creating this glass-like effect, this optical effect. We are looking through layers is in part what's happening, right? The colors are mixing
exactly.
optically. They're not mixing physically on the board on the
Exactly.
surface.
Yeah, I mean it
Yeah.
so I only I use four colors, but then by the 10th layer or so, you've got myriad colors that are mixing through the clear medium. So color is kind of hard to pin down. I want it to be kind of shifty and mysterious.
It is shifty and mysterious. You've achieved that, you know. It's really there's something so kind of hypnotic about them. So let's talk about perception, because that's what's happening here too, right? There's what's happening on the surface, and then there's what's happening in our brains, right? We're trying to understand these as a viewer, but like early op artwork and the whole history of painting in a way that kind of engages your brain as well as what you're seeing. It's almost like we don't know exactly what we're seeing, right? There's a little bit of a, to me, it feels like a little bit of a magic trick here. Like, what's happening, and why am I so pulled in? And so just to talk about perception a little bit, because that's what's happening here, right? You're
Yeah.
offering something that changes how we're seeing the world, how we're seeing color, but also how we're processing that, right?
Yes, and it's funny you mentioned color as a magic trick. Joseph Albers called it schwindel, which means like a swindle, but it's also a magic trick. And I mean, I'm trying to for myself just make it very straightforward. But it is it remains mysterious. And I am always hoping for portraying color as light rather than something physical. And color as an idea, not necessarily a substance or being revealed by a light source, but rather, trying to create a feeling of emanation in the work. And I think that the way we perceive color these days has changed a lot, given how much technology has advanced in the last 20, 30 years. And, you know, also since the 50s and 60s, since the Responsive Eye, the show that sort of introduced op art to the world. And yeah, it's just, I think that technology has sort of opened up lots of fertile ground for artists that are not
necessarily also
using
just the way yeah, absolutely. I mean, excuse me for interrupting, but just the way, you know, we look at phones, the light is coming from them, right? We're sort of almost looking through them, but yeah, there's the Responsive Eye and that kind of landmark show, and then since then, I mean, the phone is so recent compared to that. But is that partly what you're talking about? This kind of where we're often looking at light-filled surfaces that I mean, I suppose TV was that too. But to talk more about perception and how that's changed, which I guess is where you're going, what else has affected that? How are we seeing differently, if that's what's happening?
Well, I think that, you know, every perception, everything is mediated these days by technology. You go to the doctor, you're looking at your body from the inside out. We can see the universe with, well, many universes and galaxies with the Hubble telescope and other technology that allows us to see things that have never been seen before. And you know, direct perception is sort of, I mean, in our daily lives, it doesn't seem that way, but it's so mediated. And, you know, it's just the way people look at art. I mean, just to be looking at it on the phone all the time is such a different thing. And also, well, I suppose looking at reproductions in books is similar, but it's just, everything is so disembodied and sort of perceived through the mediation of phones and computers and all kinds of technology everywhere.
Yeah, absolutely. That's, I mean, I guess mostly like, you know, Berger talked about that, right? Reproduction everywhere, how that mediates our perception. But you know, in your work, we're talking about these kind of optical and really, right, almost neurological effects. How do people experience it at the openings? I mean, when I went to see the show, you know, it seems, again, I think of them as kind of infinite. I think of them as gazing pieces. There's something about them that that pulls us in, right, more than a print would or a phone would. There's something kind of luminous about them. I'm just kind of trying to ask about the actual experience of seeing them, because of course many listeners to this are looking at images of them online. They may click through and see more about the show, but there's a completely different experience when you're standing in front of one, right? I mean, to talk about that mediation, it's printed or it's you know, much more often as it is in this interview, it's posted as links, as images, but that's quite different than standing in front of them, right? The kind of optical effect it has, and even its, and of course its scale, right?
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's hard for me to talk about how they're perceived because, you know, I'm just way too informed about them and familiar, but you know, from the reactions I get, I think people they really want to know how they're made, and they're surprised by how the depth and the surface, how they, you know, the sense of space is draws them in because they can't tell where the surface begins and ends. You know, a lot of the paintings are, you know, well, up to a half an inch thick. I think in this show, not quite as much, maybe a quarter of an inch thick. And so people go around to the side and they're surprised. And you know, I think the geometric elements that I've added over the past 6 years or so, I think that's also complicates the space and disrupts the fluidity of the lines and creates a kind of opposing rhythm that you know, people are you know, sort of transfixed. And I mean, hopefully, I mean, that's good when that happens. And they're trying to sort out, you know, sort of what's going on spatially and color-wise.
Right, that's part of the questions, right, that I ask, that people ask when they see it. There's, yeah, what is happening here? Is there also, and this is, you know, maybe outside of what's happening, but anything like, for you, a narrative happening here, and that could even be one of that's internal, a kind of nod to the spiritual, so to speak, although that word is pretty vague, but there's so much happening here that's completely internal, and we don't have a horizon line or you know, a narrative to hold on to. So is there anything like that, a narrative, an experience that you are kind of developing here, or is that really not part of these works at all?
You know, if someone wanted to take that from my work, that would be fine. But I certainly, it's not something conscious or intended. But what I am interested in is structures. You know, whether in nature or in technology. You know, very simple structures that, when they're multiplied, become, you know, something very complex. They become completely different, or, you know, just the way, you know, maybe a hive is built by bees, you know, very simple things going on, and just in the multiplicity become something beautiful and something, you know, wondrous. And I mean, that's, I suppose that sort of these structures that run through nature and science and our own bodies are, you know, I guess someone could look at that sort of in a spiritual way. But yeah, I'm interested in really simple actions and simple systems that, you know, lead me to something that I was not expecting. You know, sort
like
of like
that, yeah.
Solowitz saying, irrational thoughts should be followed logically and absolutely. And I think also probably the opposite is true.
The opposite is true, which is logical.
Taking a logical, something with logic and follow it irrationally, you know, like drawing parallel lines and disrupting them with color and just, you know, and just something that you're compelled to do. And then, you know, it leads you to something you weren't expecting that you can build on and take as far as you can go.
Yeah, I like that so much. That seems to kind of encapsulate in many ways potentially a viewer's experience or certainly my experience, exactly what you're saying. I want to ask you one more question before we go a little off topic. What are you reading at the moment?
Oh, I'm reading On Painting. It's a collection of essays by Gilles Deleuze that just came out in an English translation. They're lectures from 1981. And he sort of looks at painting philosophically and really sort of has a sense of what he's describing the creative process through a philosopher's eyes, and it's pretty fascinating. I'm not reading it on my own. I'm part of a group of artists. Many of them are academics, and we take a different book every month. So this one's taking 2 months, but yeah, it's pretty fascinating.
Well, thanks for sharing that. And of course, for listeners, you can click through, learn much more about this show and the work and more about the artist as well, of course. So I want to thank you so much for your time, for this beautiful show, and yeah, for talking with me today. Thank you so very much.
Thank you. I really enjoyed speaking with you, and really appreciate the invitation.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.